Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to God. How's everybody today? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven and get another drink. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Somebody got a phone on? Hallelujah. Tell them to go down the street and then lock the door. No. Hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. Thank you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and in His presence is fullness of joy. Amen. It's His presence that we battle for. It's His presence that we fight for. It's His presence in everything that we do that we're looking for. Without God's presence, you and I are nothing. Amen? We've tried and failed. We've tried every other presence. We've had a lot of demonic presence. All kinds of presence. But only in God's presence can bring fullness of joy. It can bring fulfillment. Only God's presence. That's it. And the more you battle for His presence, the more you die to yourself. You know, there's a powerful scripture, and if you'll turn to me in the book of Timothy, hallelujah, it's Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy, First Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, praise God. Everybody there? Let's speak it together. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. In other words, the faith here is expressing God's will. In other words, there'll be people still saying that they're Christians, but they're not walking according to God's will. They're still doing their own thing. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So we see that he says in the latter times there'll be a lot of deceiving spirits. There'll be a lot of doctrine. There's a lot of doctrines. There's a lot of doctrines of New Age. There's a lot of demonic doctrines which is trying to bring a cleansing to the temple and the house, but it's false. Does everybody understand that? It's a terrible thing if you eat really good and still go to hell. You know? Yeah, man, I eat everything kosher. I don't touch nothing, no preservatives, but I'm a sinner from hell. See, these are New Age doctrines that try to promote the keeping oneself clean and pure when we're all filthy rags. Keeping oneself as self-God when we're all filthy rags. And we're seeing it more and more and more. I'm seeing New Age infiltrate much of the body of Christ where they have things for good luck charms. They wear crystals and all kinds of goofy things. They're very superstitious because that's witchcraft that imposes in their life. He says that this is going to happen a lot. And many people are going to fall from the faith. They're going to fall, even they're going to say that they're still Christians, but they're going to get involved in things that are not the doctrines of Christ Jesus. They are false doctrines of demonic spirits. They're unclean. They're seductive. They're seducing. Does everybody got it? Even Jesus said to them, because when they were saying, well, how come your disciples don't fast with us and whatever? And they were so concerned about, well, it's a power of cleansing. And Jesus said, yeah, well, you guys wash the cups and everything else, but you're a bunch of sinners because your traditions of men have kept you from following the Lord. So there's a lot of, one of the things that begin to get promoted is traditions of men, which is doctrines of demons. It's seducing, seductive. It's amazing you can stay clean and eat healthy, but still fornicate, and it's just okay. Because there's no conscious connection with Christ Jesus who is pure. The word says, who can approach the presence of God? But he who has a pure heart and clean hands. See, so things are changing. God is exposing more and more and more of the demonic area that comes up. And just, it's very sly, subtle. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want everybody to go out and buy preservatives and start eating them all day, you know. I mean, yes, we want to maintain healthiness, don't we? But there's a cleansing that can only be done by God Almighty through His Spirit. That's it. Amen? Would you turn to Jeremiah 17? Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 5, it says, "Thus says the Lord, curse is the man who trusts in man or man's doctrines." Does everybody got this? Doctrines of demons. "Who makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord." That's because of pride. "He shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes." In other words, he'll miss God because he's so involved in keeping himself instead of keeping God connected. Does everybody understand that? Man, I go to the gym. I like to go to the gym because I like to work out. I like to stay healthy. I like to feel good. Everyone likes to feel good. Amen? I can't get on the tennis court unless I've worked out or I end up injuring myself. Although sometimes it doesn't work anyways, but I mean, I eat enough vitamins where I should never be sick. I eat enough vitamins to choke a horse, but I still get sick. So things happen, you know. But in that, God uses it all to the good. You know, He takes your mistakes and turns it to good, and He takes your goods and turns it to perfection, if you let Him. But then there's people in the gym, man, let me tell you, their mirror's in their way. They do a couple of pumps, and then they're in their mirror. I mean, there are people, their arms are as big as the size of my body. It's like, sheesh. But see, unless all things are given to the glory of God, everything must be done unto the Lord. Even your eating, everything is done unto the Lord. Your laboring, everything is done unto the Lord. When it's undone unto the Lord, it's acknowledged. There's something that's happening. See, so there are those who are cursed who trust in man. Makes their flesh, their strength. They trust in them more than they do God. Let me tell you something. You can't trust you. Anyone that can trust himself is in danger. Because the Bible says your heart is the most wicked thing. It can change on you, can't it? In verse 7, it says, let's finish 6. "He shall be like a shrub in the desert, shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited." In other words, you're going to be empty and dry and always craving. You're always, because you're not fulfilled, you're always craving. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, blessed, whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and he won't be anxious." Hello? "In the year of drought, because he knows things are going to work to the good. Nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." So we can either be blessed or cursed. And one of the things the Spirit is bringing to us is we either want a house blessing or a curse blessing. Now, the house is the place that you not only live, but also your temple. It's known as the house. So we can have a blessing on us or we can have a curse on us. And I don't think anybody in here wants a curse on you. But some of us have them already, and they need to get broke because of the things that we're allowing in, the things that are unclean. See, light blesses light. Dark curses dark. Does everybody got it? Light does not bless dark. Does everybody understand that? In other words, righteousness cannot bless wickedness. It's wickedness that curses wickedness, or wickedness that actually blesses wickedness to keep it wicked. But righteousness does not bless wickedness. And wickedness does not bless righteousness. It curses righteousness. It tries to. So it's always looking for an open door to come in to curse it, because a curse is an open door for demons to come in to steal, kill, and destroy. Has everybody got it? To steal, kill, and destroy. To steal, kill, and destroy your health, your finances, your relationship, your home, your future, your descendants. to cease and cut you off of this planet forever so that your seed no longer exists. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, house blessing. We all want a house blessing, don't we? And our temple and in the place that we're living. So there are guidelines. Again, we can get caught up in religiosity and try to keep things clean according to man's traditions. But then there's the ways of the Lord that keeps things clean. And it's two different things. Does everybody understand that? In verse 14, it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Hello? For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with Belial? And what part has believers with unbelievers? And what agreement has the temple of God? Hello? The temple of God, us and our dwelling. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. In other words, don't touch what's unclean. Don't allow something in, not only that's unclean, but unholy, that is cursed. Don't allow it. Why? Because we want to maintain relationship. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Has everybody got this? This is so vitally important. That's why he says separate. In other words, separate means that you need to see, you need to discern, you need to know what's what. In other words, you know, we talk about so many things that are cursed items, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But too many families are letting in garbage into their home and into their temple, even in clothes. You know, we get clothes donated to us. We break the curses off here. And we even look to try to find the labels, not that we catch every one, but somebody usually catches it, to break off that curse. It's amazing how many Christians are still wearing crossbones in the skull, calling themselves Christianity, when it promotes death, because they don't know the difference. So in this, you and I must discern these things. We must, in verse 7, chapter 1, it says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves of all what? Filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we want to get holiness perfected. In other words, we want to keep things away from us that are unclean. Unclean. We don't want to participate in things that are unclean. You know, I this may sound strange to some people, but I'll be checking out of a cash register. They'll say, would you like to donate so much to whatever? And I say, no. And they're like, why not? Everybody else did. Because I don't promote darkness. Your cause may have a goodness on the outside, but I know what's the source behind it. I know it's the source behind Girl Scouts. I know it's the source behind these things. I will not promote it nor put any money into it. Do I love the people? Yes, but I don't like the rule behind it. And if I promote the rule behind it, then I'm cursed. Does everybody understand that? See, oh, you think, oh, that's kind of crazy. No. This is spiritual ways. This is spiritual law. This is discernment. Why? Because I want to shut every door to my life so that the devil doesn't come to steal, kill, and destroy. Now you may say, well, he's religious. No, he's righteous. And because he lives in me, he tells me these things. And he makes me sensitive to these things. Do I make mistakes? You bet I do. And I hate it when I do. But I repent. And I take care of what needs to be taken care of. God willing. John chapter 2. UNICEF. Man, if people knew what was behind UNICEF, you need to see. All of these places that are, oh yes, we're collecting for cancer. Oh really? What's the source of this? You better find out what the source is. Who's really behind it before you start giving your money? Believe me, they bust agencies all the time that are collecting for the poor. And it's going in their pockets. Amen? They're finding out that 1% of what they're collecting is going to help, and the other 99% is going to their own help. They wear pink. They were wearing pink all this to collect money. Even the NFL was wearing pink to collect all this money. And not even 75% of it was going to where it was supposed to. Hello. But yeah, they were gathering all, yeah, making themselves look good. Praise God. John chapter 2, is everybody there? Verse 13, Would you read it with me? Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now listen, the Passover of the Jews was at hand. The Passover is associated with the seven feasts of the Lord. The number seven means complete, perfect. These are the feasts of the Lord. These are not the feasts of man. They're the feasts of the Lord. The purpose of the feasts of the Lord was to cleanse, to acknowledge God, hello, to set apart and remind, to prepare, to warn, and to bless. These were the purposes of the Feast of the Lord. They're also associated with the prophetic visitations of the Lord. It was the prophetic time clock. Does everybody understand this? This is the Feast of the Lord. And then the Old Testament, they were rehearsing them every single year. And the only one that could fulfill them is Jesus when he came. That's why he was coming now. It says, and now it was the Passover of the Jews. Jesus was going to be their sacrifice for the Passover. In verse 14, and it says, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords. Oh man, I wanted to be there and see that. And he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers and money and overturned the tables. Now, I want you to look at something. Here he is. Jesus is, he's the Passover lamb. The Passover is a sacrifice where cleansing comes through what? Repentance of the blood. So he went in there and he said, man, this is, what's going on here? He went to the temple, to the building, to the place. And he began to clean it up. But it's also representation of not only a physical, but spiritual, you and me. How about money changers of greed? How much greed is in individuals now? Boy, if they didn't have money, they wouldn't know what to do. Greed. Remember, the Passover is associated with repentance. And they were defiling the temple. They were defiling this temple also, these spirits. In verse 16, and he said to them, to those who sold doves, take these things away. Why? Because they were selling things. They were selling doves for sacrifice. They were selling things in the area of doves and sheep and so forth for sacrifice. But they were actually defiling it by selling them in the temple because he was the sacrifice. See, he was removing every sacrifice in there but him. Take these things away and do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house is eating me up. Wow. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show to us since you do these things? And Jesus answered and said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Oh man, that really blew them away. They couldn't get it then. This guy's nuts. Come on, it took us, 46 years to build this thing, and you're going to raise it up in three. But they were only looking physically, carnally. They didn't understand spiritually. And these were the people that were supposed to run the temple. They were supposed to know the truth. They didn't recognize who he was. See, because they really didn't. He says, you search the scriptures thinking you have salvation, but you won't come to me to get it. Because, see, they were about the letter, not the spirit. Oh, hallelujah. So in the feasts, there's a feast of Passover. Now, Jesus came to fulfill these three feasts. Passover, in which the blood, repentance, brings cleansing. The feast of unleavened bread. Leaven meaning evil, meaning remove it. So it's our responsibility to remove it from us. It's our responsibility to remove all demonic forces, evil, unclean things, unholy things. It's our responsibility. And then there's a feast of first fruits, which is resurrection. Why? To bring new life. See, so he said, repent, clean up, and get new life. It's real easy. That's why he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Bring life. When it says bring life, it means bring blessing. What was he trying to do? Jesus is not trying to bring a curse. He's trying to bring a what? Blessing. But remember, you can't bless wickedness. So when Jesus is trying to bring a blessing, if it's unclean, can it be blessed? No. No. You can work all the days of your life and do everything and whatever. And look at people can get wealthy but never be blessed. because they think wealth is blessing. That's not blessing, man. Still be tormented, you know? The greatest thing that you and I can be is free. Free from everything. Free from worry. Free from concern. Free from care. But we cast our care. Free. Knowing that everything's going to work to the good no matter what. The Lord's going to make a way. He's going to make, why? Because you're right with him and you're maintaining covenant. If you're maintaining covenant with him, you know things are going to turn out to the good. If you're not maintaining covenant, you know you're cursed. If you're allowing things to come in and bring your house unclean in your home and in you, you know that the devil will steal it. You're giving him full right. Come on in and steal it. Here, it's yours. Hello? Leviticus chapter 14. Oh, hallelujah. House blessing. Leviticus 14, please. Yeah. 34, verse 34. He said, when you've come into the land of Canaan, which I give you as a possession, and I put leprosy, the leper's plague, in the house in the land of your possession, and he who owns the house comes and tells the priest, saying, it seems to me that there is some plague in the house. Now look at, these plagues are known as mildew, mold, dry rot. Does everybody understand it? They were known as leprous plagues. Because if you really look at leprosy, it's actually a fungus. Verse 36. Then the priest shall come command that they empty the house before the priest goes into it to examine the plague, that all that is in the house may not be made unclean. And afterward, the priest shall go in to examine the house. And he shall examine the plague, and indeed, if the plague is on the walls of the house with ingrained streaks, greenish or reddish, which appear to be deep in the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. Seven meaning complete and perfect. And the priest shall come in again on the seventh day and look, and indeed, if the plague has spread on the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which is the plague, and they shall cast them into an unclean place outside the city. In other words, because there were stones in the walls. And he shall cause the house to be scraped inside all around, and the dust that they scrape off, they shall pour out in an unclean place outside the city. Then they shall take other stones and put them in place of these stones, and he shall take other mortar and plaster the house. Now if the plague comes back and breaks out in the house, after he has taken away the stones, after he has scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look. And indeed, if the plague is spread in the house, it is an active leprosy in the house. It is what? Unclean. And he shall break down the house, its stones, its timber, and all the plaster of the house, and he shall carry them outside the city to an unclean place. Moreover, he who goes into the house at all while it is shut up shall be unclean until evening. And he who lies down in the house shall wash his clothes, and he who eats in the house shall wash his clothes. But if the priest comes in and examines it, and indeed the plague has not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds. Now, I don't want you to do this these days, okay? We got stuff that can do all this. Two birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. Hyssop neutralizes fungus or yeast. That's why they have hyssop cleanses when people have yeast infections and yeast in their body, because yeast is a plague. It's associated with a fungus or a leprosy. Is everybody okay? And the wood, the cedar wood, the scarlet is like a rag, and hyssops. And he shall take, and then he shall kill one of the birds in the earthen vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood, the hyssop, the scarlet, and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water, and sprinkle the house seven times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, the running water, the living bird, and the living bird with the cedar wood, the hyssops, and the scarlet. Then he shall let the living bird loose outside the city in an open field to make atonement for the house, and it shall be cleansed. In other words, the bird is supposed to be taking all the spiritual demonic stuff out of the house as he collects it, because it's like the sacrifice of the lamb, the scapegoat. and then let it go. So there was a physical cleaning and a spiritual cleaning. Does everybody understand it? I'm not going to go deep into this thing. So what they were doing is they were taking this hyssop, they were sprinkling on the wall seven times because they were saturating everything so that it would kill the mildew or the mold. But again, now we've got machinery that can come in and do all of these things. Amen? It was a physical house cleaning. And 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. So there was a ritual, wasn't it? It was a physical and a spiritual ritual that they utilized to cleanse the house. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 3. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. I guess we better start at verse 1 so you know what you're talking about. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. And in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, "Hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves. Sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him, have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord and turned their backs on him. They also have shut up the doors of the vestibule, put out the lamps, and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to God of Israel. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has given them up to trouble, to desolation, to jeering, and as you see with your eyes. For indeed, because of this, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons, our daughters, and our wives are in captivity." They're in what? Captivity. That's called bondage. "Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister to him and burn incense." That incense is coming from your mouth now. Does everybody understand that? So understand that in this, because of the lack, look it, this is the house of the Lord, but it's not the house of the Lord until people come in. Amen? It was a gathering place. It is not the house of the Lord until the Lord's people come in. Now it's the house of the Lord. And there should be a zeal for God's house, shouldn't there? Amen. Not only the house of the Lord, but the home where you're living, because you're the temple, there should be a zeal there. That's why he says, forsake not to assemble. These are all the areas. These are the things that he's trying to keep us to maintain a clean life, a pure heart, and clean hands. But the carnal mind says, well, I can just do whatever I want to do. Then they wonder why. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, put our sons, our daughters, and our wives in captivity because we're still doing what we think is right instead of what he says is right. Amen? Hallelujah. In Leviticus 26, some people just never get it, and they'll go in circles until they die. Some people will turn. In Leviticus 26, starting at verse 1, verse 1. "You shall not" what? "Make idols for yourselves. Neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves. Nor shall you set up a graved stone in your land to bow down to it. For I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my" what? "Sanctuary." Hello? And where is the sanctuary? The house of the Lord. That is not only us as a sanctuary, but this house and your home. Your home should also be a sanctuary. Amen? Again, "You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit." In other words, blessing will come. Why? Because God is trying to bring what? A blessing. So everybody got it. But can God bless what is wicked? No. Does everybody understand this? So that means there's got to be, we're trying to make a way for him to come in and what? bless. So that means things have to get cleaned up. And we're going to have to, that's our responsibility, isn't it? To participate with God to clean up things in our house and in our temple. Idols. Go to Joshua 7. Excuse me. Whew. It's hot in here, isn't it? We all to move over then or something, you know? There we go. Maybe that will help. Hallelujah. I'm Bach. Praise God. Joshua 7, is everybody there? In verse 10, let's speak it together. So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their what? Enemies. But turn their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from what? Among you. Accursed items. Draws demonic activity. People still have accursed items in their home. Again, these simple New Age things are accursed items. That's why it's good to go through your home, break every curse off of everything. You don't know what who's placed a curse on something that you have in your home. Amen? What about clothes? Amen. You know, they got all these perfumes. They got every kind of demonic, lustful name on them. Passion. Sheesh. I mean, oh, they smell good. But there's a sense of demonic activity. Cause promotes lust. Those perfumes need to be broken curses off in the name of Jesus. Those spirits need to be removed. Those names aren't put on her for nothing else but to bring demonic activity in your home and everything else. I've never heard of this. Well, you heard it today. Clean up your house. Amen? Praise God. In Acts chapter 8, how about all of... You know how many people still have Harry Potter? Harry Potter, demonic activity? Look at all the stuff from Disney that's demonic. I mean, if people really knew that Walt Disney was a Satan worshiper, they'd be blown away. Oh, but he loved kids. I never found a pervert who didn't. Hello? Anyways, what did I say before? Acts something? Let's get some Acts in here. Oh, glory. Yeah, they only picture all the beauty, the little things, these little fairy tales and stuff, which are nothing but demonic forces. Come on, when I was growing up, you got money for a tooth under your pillow, so I thought about taking everybody's teeth. And I'm going to get me as much cash as I can. And while you're sleeping, I'm going to get your teeth. Hey, Ma, what's your hand doing under my pillow? I come to get you. Never mind. Santa Claus. Man, you know, people worship Santa Claus, though. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm not against putting up a tree and whatever and coloring your house. I look at the tree as a tree of life. See, it depends what your heart's at, too. But, man, you can't be stupid about things because your heart can be deceived while you're still allowing demonic activity and because you're reasoning and justifying according to traditions of men. Amen? People still having statues, little statues of angels, Cupids, Mary, rosemaries, not rosemary, rosaries. Rosaries with Mary and stuff. They're still praying. People don't realize that a rosary is an accursed item. Why? Because you're praying to the dead. There may be a good intention, but you're still opening the doors of demonic activity. Acts chapter 8. I'm going to get there. I really am. Hallelujah. We want to keep a clean house. We want God's blessing. Amen. Acts chapter 8 and verse 18. Now when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, you idiot, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. There is a price. It's called deny yourself. It's called relationship. It's called follow. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by what? Bitterness. And bound by iniquity. That's inherited curses. Let me tell you what will keep your house clean is to get forgive. But I'll tell you what will keep it unclean. Bitterness. Gossip. Slander. Your tongue. I just hate you. All of this foolishness. It brings a curse. But let me tell you, a spirit enters you before you even finish the word. Then you have more struggles. Then oppression comes and all kinds of other stuff. Bitterness, iniquity, inherited curses. Why? Those will keep you unclean. How about unclean thoughts? Yeah. Ephesians 4. You know, one of the things that's important about assembling is to bring things to remembrance. Remember, this is not a Bible study. It's a training session. Sometimes we need to be reminded of things. Why? To keep us clean. There's things that we fall into and compromise. We begin to lose sight of it. Oh, man, you know what? Man, I'm glad I heard this today because I need to. Wow, there's some things that I've just allowed in. I have something that I've done or something you haven't done yet. And you wonder why everything is a mess. Ephesians 4:30. Is everybody there? What does it say? And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Whoa. Proverbs 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together in verse 24. Proverbs 4:24. Speak it. Put away from you a what? Deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Put them where? Far from you. Go to 15, Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath. But a harsh word stirs up what? Anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. But the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a what? Tree of life. But perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So we see that what you speak is what you eat. You can either speak blessing or speak curse. Amen? So we must be careful of things that come out of... Why? Because you defile yourself by what you speak. And that will prevent a blessing. Does everybody get it? Why? Because God cannot bless what is wicked. He blesses what is righteous. Zechariah 13. Verse 1, Zechariah 13, verse 1. In that day a foundation shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. It shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the what? Idols from the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. I will also cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to depart from the land. Prophets and unclean spirit, why? Because they are prophesying unclean things. They're not prophesying the pure word of the Lord. The unclean spirits are now speaking through them. It shall come to pass that if anyone still prophesies, then his father and mother who begot him will say to him, you shall not live because you have spoken lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother who begot him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. Nice. Hey, let me tell you, there's worse things in the Old Testament than that. You had a kid that was rebellious, that wouldn't obey, that constantly, if the parents brought the children before the assembly, they knew that the kid was going to get killed. So when they would do that, they were willing to let that child go back to the Lord. They stoned him to death. That was the Old Testament. Thank God for his mercies and grace now, amen. There'd be none of us here. Unclean spirits in the land, he said he's going to remove. Of course, we have to cooperate. Amen. Doesn't the Bible say in Matthew 12? So these are things that will defile us. Has everybody got it? Keep us unclean. Prevent blessings from the Lord. We want to be a blessed house of God. In Matthew 12, verse 43, it says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, demons, demonic activity in a person. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Wow. But it's, you know what's lacking? It's not filled. You know why? Lack of assembling. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with the wicked generation. Hello. Again, these spirits are influencing individuals, aren't they? We must stay filled. That's the only way we can stay clean. We must stay in God's presence. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. Oh, this is good. I like this one. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And many people are brought under the power of many. Foods for the stomach, and the stomach for foods. But God will destroy both it and then. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, we always think that these are ours, so we can just do whatever we want with them. We can pierce them any way we want. We can tattoo them any way we want. They're not our body. They're his. Has everybody got it? That's why people bring curses on themselves. He says, if you're going to damage your body, I'm going to kill you. Colossians chapter 5. I'm sorry, Galatians. Galatians 5. House blessing. We want to be blessed. In verse 19, things that will defile us, make us unclean. Now the works of the flesh are what? Evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Because they're what? They're unclean. Uncleanness, unclean things. He said, what that's going to do? The devil's going to come to steal, kill, and destroy. It's going to prevent you from entering eternal life. In James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 26. If any among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows and in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world of contamination. Colossians 3. Keep oneself unspotted from the world. The Bible says what you sow is what you reap, right? So if you're planting seed in your cursed things, what happens? Hello. What you're planting in it's unclean, you're going to receive an unclean. Does everybody get it? And what's going to happen is you're going to allow the enemy to come and steal, kill, and destroy. And put individuals in your house in captivity. Colossians 3, verse 1. Let's speak it. If you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You died. Hallelujah. We're dead, but we're alive in Him. We're dead, but we're alive. So why would you associate with things that promote death? Why not associate things that promote life? Why? Because then you receive blessing. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, hello, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off. You are to cooperate. You are to be vigilant. You are to discern. You are to be awake and put off these things. Remove them. Like anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, and out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So that the character of Christ reigns in you and through you. Why? Because you've made a dwelling place for Him. 1 John chapter 5. House blessing. Now, we have a house blessing prayer and a take back the temple prayer on Eternal Library. What's it? Is it .org or .com? .org, eternallibrary.org. You can go over there and hit the prayers and it comes down and you can pray. But we're going to pray the house blessing prayer today. We're going to all speak it together. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. Actually, I'm going to kind of combine the house blessing with temple blessings. We'll work it out. God's got a plan because it's going to all work to the good. 1 John chapter 5 and verse something. 821. verse 18. Sheesh. Is everybody there? Let's read it. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Hello. That means he doesn't allow sin to reign. He exposes it and removes it. He knows what's unclean, unholy, and unrighteous. He removes it. But he who has been born of God does what? Keeps himself. Keeps himself what? Clean. And the wicked one doesn't touch him. Hello? See, if you stay clean, the wicked one can't touch you. He can't come and steal, kill, and destroy. The only thing God will allow is your training. But if you're allowing open doors in your life, you're allowing things to be unclean, He's going to come, steal, kill, and destroy. Verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from these idols. And I'm going to close at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Praise God. And we do have a bunch of these sheets printed up for anyone that wants one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Is everybody there? Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for all of us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now I want everyone to repeat after me. Jesus, I come to you
through
the blood of the Lamb.
And I ask that you forgive me
of every thought,
spoken word,
or deed
that was displeasing
to you.
I ask that you
wash my spirit,
soul and body
with the blood of the Lamb.
Holy Father,
I take my
authority
and I
claim back
this temple
in the
name of Jesus.
I take
my authority
as
the child of the Most
High God,
and
I command
every
evil,
foul,
unclean
spirit
to leave
this place,
to leave
my body,
to leave
my home,
in the
name of Jesus.
I bind
every strong man,
principality,
demonic
power,
ruler of
darkness,
and
spiritual hosts of
wickedness
in
heavenly places,
over
my temple,
my
home,
and
my property,
in the
name of Jesus.
I renounce,
break,
and loose
my
temple
and my
property
from
any
and
every dark
spirit,
evil
influences,
satanic
bondages,
evil
curses,
charms,
vexes,
hexes,
spells,
jinxes,
bewitchments,
witchcraft,
sorcery,
psychic
heredity,
demonic
holds,
psychic
powers,
bondages,
generational
curses
that have been
put upon
my
temple,
my family
line,
my
property,
from
any person
or
persons
or
occult source,
from
any sin,
transgressions,
iniquities,
occult,
or
psychic
involvement
committed
on my temple
or
on my land,
in the
name of Jesus.
Father,
I
ask that you forgive
all
the sins
that
were committed on this
land
and on my
temple,
and that
the blood
of
Jesus
Christ
wash
this land clean
and
wash me clean,
in
Jesus' name.
Now
I ask Jesus
that
you would come
and
fill this
place,
fill
this temple,
fill
this land
with
your presence,
and
that you would
send
your
warring
and
ministering
angels
to
come
to
guard,
to battle,
to
protect,
and
to sanctify
this
temple
and
my property,
in the
name of Jesus.
Create
an open
door
of
heaven
over
this sanctuary,
my
temple,
and
my
dwelling place,
and
that
your love,
your
power,
your
fire,
your
wind,
and
your rain
will
continuously
fall
in this place,
in
the
name
of Jesus.
I
speak
blessings,
favor,
prosperity,
protection
over
this sanctuary,
over
my home,
my
dwelling
place,
and
my temple.
And
I thank you
in
the name
of
Jesus
for
answering every prayer
here.
And
we all come
and agree.
We
all
touch
on this.
Then
it is done.
It
is sealed.
And
it is
completed
in
Jesus'
name.
And everybody
said,
Hallelujah!